The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
My brother, main advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? I'm your middleest brother, Wolf Wolf Big Dog Travis McElroy.
Hi, Trav Nation. Good morning. It's Griffin McElroy. Thank you for having me, Trav Nation.
You're welcome. What did you bring us as offering?
Apples.
Delicious. Trav Nation, I've brought news of Madame Web from the wild.
Oh, wait, come in. Yeah. Sorry. We don't need to rush the news. You are dusty and tired, traveler. Come. Rest.
if I may sup and bathe.
Soak in our basin.
My women have had a long journey of defending me from the Outlanders, mm-hmm. and they require sustenance and rest.
Yes.
I'm trying to decide if this is problematic or not. Go on, traveler.
What?
Your women?
Perhaps in your land you prefer to treat your women like shrinking violets, but where I hail from, they are fierce warriors.
This is cool.
Yeah, man, I'm cool. Into it. Wait, hold on. I'm into this.
And I get to just watch and listen.
Let me roll for intimidation.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
That kicks ass.
No, okay,
You're in that headspace because of Madame Web, I feel like, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like Madame Web has... I want to tell you guys everything about Madame Web, because it's finally out. And I feel like if you don't want to know about Madame Web, I think you should... You've probably decided that you're not going to see Madame Web, but that's probably a good decision.
Yeah.
But I might try to make a pitch.
If you don't even want to hear about Madame Web... Know that we sat here stone cold 5 minutes trying to think of another thing to talk about in the intro, and there's just nothing. It's just Madame Web out there today.
So let's address question one that Travis asked me off mic, or maybe it was Griffin. Why did you watch Madame Web?
Good question. Okay? Yeah.
Good question. Let's start there. The hardest thing I saw someone do a TikTok recently that said the hardest thing about being married, and it's like, oh, well, so you have to pick something to eat. And that's true.
Yeah.
But the
every night
hardest,
you have to look at your partner and say, what are we going to do for dinner? As though you've never
ever
had to figure it out before.
Yeah. So the second hardest thing is picking something to watch. Now, when Sydney and I we have similar tastes, and we're locked in with the show that we both like, we're watching it. Madame Web came about because we just found something that we felt the same about. We both didn't want to watch it the exact same amount. And for some reason, it made sense.
Right. Two negatives.
Make a positive.
So some things about Madame Web that I think is important to know is that nothing happens in it.
Okay? Oh, cool.
That's one of the chief things you should know about Madame Web is that nothing happens in Madame
Web. And sometimes you want that in a movie, a nice, relaxing.
I get to the end of one of these superhero movies, guys, and I'm fucking tired. They have worn me out watching them run around and throw their shields and stuff at people. That makes me exhausted.
Right. So the things that happen in Madame Web that are cool are there's the main I'll tell you the plot of Madame Web. So Madame Web's mom is a scientist in a jungle.
Okay.
And she's looking for super mega spiders that can cure disease because her daughter has a degenerative disease. Her unborn daughter has a degenerative disease that she's trying to find a cure for with the incredible power.
You could just say we've got kind of a Morbius situation going on.
So the super spider is located, but then a mean man steals it from her so he can have the power of that for himself. But he shoots her, but she's rescued by, I don't know how to say it other than, there's sort of like Spider-Men who live in the jungle.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, called Los Arañas. Okay. So she's saved by them. And then they use their incredible spider magic to try to save her long enough.
Now, hold on, because I've never known
the magic of spiders. Magical spiders.
I've never known Spider-Man to be a wielder of the arcane arts.
Interesting.
You think that would have come up? Because there's been a lot of times where Spider-Man has hung out with Doctor Strange, and you think it would come up that Doctor Strange would be like, and I know you to also be a practitioner.
Yeah.
Of the magical spider
arts. I'm not saying that there is much of a biological explanation for Mang is bit by special spider and then can shoot a very tensile jizz from his wrist that lets him swing around New York City and
there's an internal logic to it, I guess.
Right, but I guess it is magic if you think about it, is what I'm saying.
Flash forward. Okay. Fast forward 20 years. Welcome to New York. Hey, in the city, it's the 90s.
In New York, it's Spider-Man are swinging from buildings. They're shooting their webbings.
We tried to calculate the time. I think it's around like early 2000s. We see Madam Web. She's a firefighter, ambulance driver. With her partner is, you'll never guess, it's Ben Parker.
Famous uncle. Famous uncle. Sorry. Ben,
not the clone.
I've never known him without a nephew.
Adam Scott as Uncle Ben, who when we first see him is in the back of an ambulance trying to save a life by delivering one-handed chest compressions.
Holy shit.
Is he a superhero?
Sydney said exactly. That's a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
I said, well, really? You don't see that a lot?
He was using his other hand to eat a New York hot dog.
Hey, I'm compressing it.
Yeah, and so
staying alive. Yeah, you're supposed to do CPR to that. Oh, you are? I just am always kind of singing staying alive because I'm a New York guy.
Now,
what do you think Adam Scott's experience was in the short 30-second window of you're going to play Uncle Ben in a Spider-Man movie? But here's the catch.
So we know that there has to be a Spider-Man movie from Sony every couple of years or they lose Spider-Man.
Yes.
So that is why these movies exist. And Sydney thinks that Spider-Man has to be in it, which is, we'll get to that. Ben Parker, we find out, has a sister. Ben Parker's brother, Richard, is gone. His sister, Mary, the sister-in-law, Mary, is pregnant with Peter Parker. Now, the first conversation we see Madam Web have with Ben Parker, he says, well, I've met somebody new. I'm really into her. And she's like, what's her name? And in the audience, I'm like, it's May. And then it stares at his face for like 5 seconds while he makes like sheepish looks and doesn't say May.
Yeah.
Ben Parker is in the movie, so the movie can remind you that it thinks you're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
It will not. He's not going to say that. Later on, there's a very similar scene where they're talking to Mary Parker, and they play a game about what they're going to name the baby.
Oh, nice.
You know what word is never said in that scene? You guessed it. Peter. Nothing happens in the movie. Madam Web doesn't have any superpowers that she can use. Okay.
So they introduce magical Spider-Man in the jungle who use spider magic to save her.
Yeah.
Yes. But that that has no impact.
Okay. Awesome.
No. She at one point attempts to climb up a wall and just kind of slides down it in one of the movie's few entertaining
scenes. Now, wait, I will say most movies do have that scene in it where they do. Most movies have beginning, middle, and end, a climax, a denouement, and a Spider-Man test to see if the character. Yeah. Yeah. I remember in the Marriage Story with Adam Driver when they were like, I hate your fucking guts. I hope you fucking die. Hold up 1 second.
I just got to check one thing.
We all remember the classic scene where he's like, good soup. Thwip, thwip, thwip. Why are you making that noise, Adam Driver?
I'm just trying to.
And that's what's so
once a decade, I have a timer that goes off just to see if it kind of came in my 40s.
That's what kicks ass about Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man flick is he was like, hold on, guys. Spider-Man test. Psst, holy shit, it worked. And the audience just loses their mind. Like, guys, you'll never believe this. I went to a movie today and the Spider-Man test worked and he was Spider-Man.
I'm so glad that we're bringing this up because I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. I think the Spider-Man test in Inception is connected to the Spider-Man test in Shutter Island.
Yes.
I think it bookends like the two and just shows a connection between Inception and Shutter Island.
Yeah.
We can discuss offline.
And we also know, so, I do want to be clear, the Spider-Man test can also refer to when two Spider-Men have a conversation, not about Spider-Woman.
Yeah. So few films pass it, but when they do, it's so meaningful.
Actually, just one I can think of. No, there's three. What? Two of them are animated.
Two of them are animated, and then one. Yeah, they're all very recent. This is new technology.
So we see the bad guy Ezekiel. He has this nightmare where three spider ladies kill him.
Okay.
And this, yeah, so it's
been there, man.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so only three? Wow.
So these three spider ladies, he has this dream. He's going to kill these three spider ladies are going to kill him. And he's like, I got to find these spider ladies and kill them first.
Yeah.
Because they're going to kill me and I'm freaked out about it. And then nothing happens.
Cool.
For a really long time.
What are you seeing on the screen? And what sounds are you hearing and sights are you seeing?
Yeah, was the projector broken, maybe?
Here's what it is. Madam Web will watch the bad scenes from the movie. She will experience the bad scene. And you, the audience, will experience the bad scene in the movie.
Cool.
And then the movie will restart to like 30 seconds before that, and you will watch the bad scene again. And then Dakota Johnson will say, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
It happened again. Shit. How much movie do we have left? Fuck. An hour and no powers, huh? Shit. All right. And then she finds those three spider ladies, and you'll never guess it, but none of them got powers either.
Huh. Because
that's in the future when it's interesting.
Whoa.
When the movie is interesting, Dakota Johnson has spider powers. No, has psychic powers where she can see the future. And then she has three spider ladies.
Gotta be related to the spider magic in the jungle.
It's related to the magic spiders. We don't know how the three of them get spider powers because we never see it happen. They're just kind of in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, this is the most important thing, is that Adam Scott was doing this chest compressions on somebody. Okay. And then she did chest compressions on somebody on the ground outside of a disaster and brought them back to life. And then she falls in a river. And Adam Scott pulls her out and she dies, but Adam Scott brings her back to life with chest compressions.
Okay.
People do see chest compressions two other times in this movie.
Huh.
There are like six scenes. There's a scene, guys, where Madam Web, in trying to protect her three spider surrogate daughters, teaches them CPR. It's the closest we get to a scene of people getting superpowers.
Yeah.
Because they will use.
That's how it starts, man. You learn CPR, you get a little high on the hog, and then you fuck it, and then you go out there and you start trying to fly. You do mini Spider-Man tests.
So she goes to a cave in the jungles, and there's a guy there, and he's like,
wait, why does she go there?
Yeah. And so she goes to a spider cave in the jungles, and there's a guy there, he's like, fuck, man, you are so powerful. And she's like, really? Because I feel like I'm just kind of going nuts and seeing things in the future, and then they restart.
No,
like,
man, you know CPR, and that's where it all starts.
He's like, when you figure it out, fuck, you're going to be cool. And she's like, now? He's like, not now. No. Not now, but later. Dang, you're going to rule. She's like, can you teach me how to use my powers? Like, you assume he's the Ben Kenobi or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, ah, no, I can't do that.
I wish I could.
He's like, when you're ready, you'll be the most power. And he's like, I'm sorry about this. And he punches her so hard, her spirit flies out of her body and into a lake. And the result of that is nothing. Nothing changes as a result of that. She just kind of goes back into it. At the end of the movie, now we're getting into spoilers for the end of the movie. Okay. So I want to tell you what happens at the end.
Can I tag out?
No, you're still in.
Fuck.
At the end of the movie, the bad guy, Ezekiel, is threatening all of her surrogate spider daughters at the same time. So
does he have three guns? How does that work?
It's like they're all in danger.
Well, he took the spider magic, I think, so he probably has extra hands, right?
Okay,
they're all in danger. Madam Web still has done nothing for the whole movie, okay?
Yeah.
In my head, when I saw there was 10 minutes left, I literally couldn't believe it. It's impossible. We're still in act one of this film. But There are three of them in danger. What happens is that Madame Web realizes that she loves her mom so much that she is able to split her essence into three. Now, those three essences don't actually do anything to help the spider ladies.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They just kind of like super support them.
This looks cool.
And then the bad guy Ezekiel is mad about that. Yeah. So he punches her so hard in the stomach that she goes back together into one.
Okay, so far we've seen her, is one of her powers that when she's punched, it either knocks her spirit out of her or pulls her spirit back in?
Yes, I think it's a power.
Ethereally punchable is not a great power.
Yes, it's not a great power. And then what happens at the end of it is that she notices there's a giant Pepsi sign above the evil Spider-Man, Ezekiel. And then she's scooting away from him. And then she scoots to the exact place where the sign is going to fall. And that's how she beats him, is that she scoots to a place where a Pepsi sign falls on him. And if I'm the PepsiCo, I do not think I want my brand used like that to crush.
Now, hold on, Juice. Hold on, because I had the same thought. But if you're PepsiCo and you find out that the Pepsi sign smushes the bad guy,
the hero of the movie,
does more than Madame Web does, I think you're back on board.
Yeah, so I think I'm into it at that point.
Is the guy that she meets in the cave Saul from Better Call Saul? And he's like, you're going to be really good at staging insurance claim accidents? Because that's what it sounds like she is set up. Because they're going to sue. Ezekiel's family is going to be able to sue PepsiCo for maybe billions.
Everything.
Oh, you guys are worried because she falls off of the thing.
Oh,
when
the
sign crashes down and kills Spider-Man. And she falls off.
Wait,
and
kills Spider-Man? What?
Evil Spider-Man.
Okay.
She falls into the water and her spider daughters bring her out of the water. But she stays dead forever because none of them can do anything about it.
Oh, man.
So it's sad how it ends. No, wait, just kidding. They use CPR.
Fuck yeah.
And bring her ass back to life. And then in the movie's final shot, you see all three of them with spider powers and Dakota Johnson in giant ass red glasses and a red cape. Did I mention it made her blind? Falling in the water. She's blind now, but that's fine. She's
not
in a wheelchair.
The couple of times she's been punched and it affected her spirit.
No, she's in a wheelchair. She's got huge glasses and she looks cool and she's floating around.
And then the movie starts.
And then the movie ends.
No!
What happens is the movie ends. And they're like, okay, time for the movie. Justin, are you ready? And they're like, I'm actually not ready because I don't want to watch any more of it, but I guess fine. No, end of film.
Listen,
that's the end of Madame
Think of
Web.
It this way. Madame Web 2, mathematically, is going to have two movies worth of kick-ass stuff that happens in it if none of it happened in Madame Web 1.
That's a good point. They
Delayed
were saving it
gratification.
All.
This is who it's a. It is superhero origin story edging is essentially what they have conducted here.
Two other brief notes. The man in the cave tells her that when she accepts great responsibility, she will have great power.
That's cool.
Oh, so it's kind of a reverse of traditional, maybe, but like, because normally Uncle Ben would put a lot of extra pressure on his teenaged nephew of saying, hey, man, with great power, you have to save everybody in the world. But instead he's saying, when you're ready to save everyone in the world,
imagine the backpack of cocaine that must have been consumed after that line was written. In a room, like, guys, I fucking got it. Toss down the Jansport.
Stan, you took three weeks vacation after one day of writing? Yeah, you don't understand. I wrote this line. Right? Well, I just read it, and I'm going to take a week's vacation. Yeah, I know,
after
man.
Because I hired you, so I deserve it, too. Listen, in one of these final moments, Mary Parker, Peter's mom, is rushed to the hospital.
Do you want to take your shirt off and then continue telling us about?
Because she's about to give birth to the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They never say his name or anything. They ask Madame Web, so how's Ben like being an uncle? He loves it. It's all the fun of being an uncle with none of the responsibility. And
surely
then
she says dad.
And then she says, if only he knew. Like it's a joke because she can see the future. Right?
Mary's
going to die, and Mary's going to die, and then later Uncle Ben dies, but hey, Spider-Man. When the baby is born, you do see the baby very briefly. And then Sydney leans over me and she says, okay, that explains it. And I said, what? And she said, well, they have to put Spider-Man in the movie for it to count for their contract, right? I'm like, I'm not sure it's exactly how. She's like, no, no, no. This is what it is. That's Spider-Man. So they got to get Spider-Man in the movie. So Spider-Man is in the movie, legally speaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a Spider-Man movie. He's in there.
He's got
it. And so it contractually satisfies their legal obligation to have Spider-Man
in the
movie.
I'm not a copyright or contract lawyer, but that is the best explanation for the existence of the movie, I think.
Yeah.
That could be made.
Okay. The presence of baby Spider-Man, we can debate whether that the movie being released is 100%. Like, I think they would look you dead in the eyes over at Sony and say, oh yeah, we had to release that. We did have to. Yeah.
Justin, cool. I have one question left, and it is CPR related. At any point in the movie, does anyone do the thing where it looks like the compressions aren't working and they get so mad that they kind of start pounding on the person's chest like a gorilla and then that works?
No, Trav, the chest compressions always work.
Oh, okay.
100% of the time.
And it doesn't just keep their blood pumping and oxygen going enough for them to get to the hospital. It brings them back to consciousness. Yeah.
There is one time it doesn't work. It's early in the development of her psychic abilities. Mm. And she sees her friend get into an ambulance and leave the scene of an accident and then get drilled by an oncoming truck.
Bummer.
And she sees that happen and then time resets. And she's talking to God. She's like, oh man, that was so weird. Well, see ya. And he's like, okay, are you sure I shouldn't wait another few seconds? She's like, no, go ahead. Go. It's fine. And then he goes and he gets hit and she pulls him out of the thing and he's bleeding and she's doing chest compressions. They're not
working. On a man bleeding out.
And she realizes that if she doesn't act on these visions, people could die so badly that even CPR can't bring them back.
Devin Sawa figured that out right away in Final Destination. And it takes Madam Web watching someone die twice, Travis, before she connects the dots.
I can't believe I have to tell you this again. Whenever Devin Sawa is in a movie, he is not playing himself every time. I don't know why you have that stuck.
But he
in your
looks
head.
Exactly the same.
Okay,
like but if I remember see him watching in real life, and I see him in a movie, he still looks like Devin.
He
Sawa.
Still looks like Devin Sawa. I get that, but we watched Idle Hands together, and you were kind of insufferable because you were
that
like,
"That one was
why
a
would,
wild one."
You were like, "Why would Devin Sawa do that?" And it's like he's an actor.
I didn't know that Casper was the ghost of Devin Sawa.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Our friends Emma Gill, who recommended the movie, pointed out. Gill said, "I want to repeat the CPR was somehow more distracting than the fact that his villain had his feet out." Whole time, which I thought was also really interesting and also good. Yeah, the villain's puppies.
They're just out.
His toe beans are just there.
The bad guy, anytime he's not dressed as evil Spider-Man, he's in a full power suit, but with the puppies blazing.
Fucking
now,
cool,
boys,
dude.
Boys, we have been talking about Madam Web for 23 minutes.
You've been listening to Madam Web for 23 minutes. I've been talking about Madam Web for 23 minutes. Oh man, next year, Max Fun Drive, stretch goal. Guys are gonna watch Madam Web with me. It's a hoot and a half. All right, so this is an advice show.
Yeah.
I know nothing about fishing. However, on the beach I live near and go for a lot of walks on, there are often two fishermen fishing into the ocean. I often want to make conversation with them about their fishing and ask them if they've caught anything good today. How do I bullshit my way through a conversation about fishing? That's from Curious About Carp in Cornwall.
I like to include questions in the question list from time to time that are just a little bit easy layup, just a whoop.
Yeah,
just
sure.
A little easy layup.
Yeah, I feel super qualified to do this.
Well, no, here's the thing about this. A couple things. One, they don't want to talk to you. If they wanted to talk to human beings, they would not be quietly sitting on a beach.
Solitary activities.
Yes, fishing.
One of the few activities that if you talk too much, it stops working. You can't do it.
It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't.
Secondly,
and I tell you who's always, this is a rule that everybody knows pretty good because I have noticed that dads are biologically required to let kids know that there can be no talking.
Yeah.
Dad seemed really insistent, in fact, that any talking at our dad, I remember with the three of us, would do a lot of reminding us that we cannot talk because it
in fishing.
Maybe reminding one of us more than the other two from time to time.
Sometimes I think that dads maybe just don't want you to talk.
That's so interesting because I don't feel that.
Interesting.
I love when my children talk. I think they're pleasant. But also, secondly, I would say fishing is also among, and there's several other activities like this, but where the person talking to you about it loves when you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And they can tell you everything about it.
Yeah.
That's true. Most people forget that people don't necessarily really telling people about stuff they don't know about.
Yeah.
I hate looking like I don't know about everything in the world. And that's my great struggle because I think I'd be happier if I just
because there's a ton of shit you do not know about. Like a ton of shit, dude.
Most of it. I would say just statistically speaking.
Big
most
big stuff.
Big wide swaths of the culture that I have just
taken a flyer on. Yeah. I know nothing about fishing, but my algo has started to serve me up piping hot TikToks of people making lures, because that's good.
Ooh,
shit, right?
Really?
There. Yeah, a lot of
that's
my
fun.
Guys, my algo beats ass. I'll scroll through that shit and it'll be like sports blooper, and then it'll be like, here's a jazz chord progression that we've been cooking up in the jazz kitchen, and then it'll be like, want to watch me make a lure very quietly for a minute and a half? And I'm like, yeah, I do, because these things, guys, some of these things I want to bite them, and I know it would hurt like a lot,
man,
but I want to bite it. If I was a fucking fish, there's no way. Shiny.
My algorithm, for some reason, just as a side note, serves me up videos referencing trends, but not the trend themselves.
Yeah.
Where
sure.
It's videos of like, oh, I wish I could participate in this trend, but I don't know what the trend is. So even my algorithm is like, you're out of touch, and so are we.
Yeah, it sounds like it's got a peg, man.
I want to say that I think that what you need to do is a cultural exchange. Like, I would like to talk to somebody who fishes in real life, and they tell me about that, and then they have to listen to me tell them about the fishing minigame in Stardew Valley that I'm very good at.
That's, yeah.
And I can tell them about the different locations and where you can catch it, or rains, and what kind of bait you should use, and what are your chances, and how the bar
works. You do any sewer fishing with that bad boy? Oh, yeah, you got to get down there.
You get any slime jacks? What about my mutant carp? Krobus will be very impressed.
Another version of this is you walk up right next to them while they're doing their thing on the beach. And you put a finger up to your lips like, I get it. Shh, I get it. No talking here. You pull out your phone. You start playing a little Pokemon Go. We're both mastering the wilds, as is our God-given right as humans.
Okay, all you get, this is easy. You just set a Bible down between you and say, I'm something of a fisher myself.
That's cool, too.
A fisher of men.
But can you do it in the accent of Willem Dafoe doing some proselytizing?
Okay. I'm something of a fisher myself.
No.
Fisher of men.
Travis.
You're saying that because you can see me and I don't look like Willem Dafoe, but I sound 100. If you try with your eyes closed.
Hold on. Travis was about to Travis is cooking up something in the kitchen that doesn't sound like Willem Dafoe.
What do you got?
You know, I'm something of a fisher myself.
That's pretty good. It's better than Justin.
Right at the Spider-Man. Self, you lost it, but it was good.
You know, I'm something of a fisher myself.
It was a firefight.
You know, I'm something of a fisherman myself.
But he's turned British for me a little bit.
Yeah. Do you know, sometimes movies and TV give you the wrong impression that old men that are by themselves and seem sad just need one friend to love them, and they're so lonely, and they got a picture of their wife that died in their pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of guy. And they're just like, kindness passes it on. It's just one old man you got to talk to. And when you forget, is a lot of old men by themselves. They kind of want it to be like that.
They don't show that time.
Do you know how many forced social experiences you have to go through in the first 75 years of your life to get to a point that when you're standing by yourself fishing, everybody goes, he's earned this.
He's earned
this. You don't have to talk to him.
That's all I'll say past 75.
Yeah.
If someone tries to talk to me, I'll say, I've earned this.
Yes.
You don't understand.
You don't get to see Maury Wednesday through Monday. He is fucking chilling and having the time of his life.
Tuesdays, he's basically doing community service by hanging out with a younger person.
If you are a Fisher, please email and let us know, because my assumption would be you have to fight and scrape to carve out that hour to just go fish by your fucking self.
Yes.
And my assumption is that, like Travis said, they do not want you to talk to them while they are fishing.
Yeah.
Please, if we are incorrect or correct, email in, educate us about fishing, because I tell you,
this is where the collapse of sort of hat culture has let us down. Because I feel like
we were all thinking.
The little tip. It's so not like it's not fucking pro. Like, I'm not Great Gatsby. Like, we're not tipping hats so much anymore. Yeah. In like most of the country, I think. I don't go outside.
Did you know? It's a common misconception. His first name is actually Greg. Greg Gatsby. Yeah,
that's interesting.
When you guys were envisioning the fisherman in your mind's eye, just quick mind's eye check, he had like a cap on, right?
Bucket hat for sure. Little fly fisherman's vest and shit.
Oh my God.
Even though he's on the ocean sitting on a chair. Yeah.
Wait. Get a hat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The hat, the floppy hat that you put the lures into it.
Yes.
Yeah, we know the one. Yeah.
Right? And then you walk past the dudes and give them a doff of the hat. Like, a fellow fisherman. I'll leave you to it, good sir.
Yeah.
I have some fishing to get to.
Okay, except
you cast your lure onto the sand of the beach facing the opposite direction.
No, so
you don't want to steal his fish.
Oh, you're still water fishing? It's adorable.
My favorite spot is over that bluff, just beyond where your eyes can see. Don't come over there.
Yeah, don't check
on
me. I'm
going to be there all day, baby, and all night. I love to fish. Let's take a quick trip over to the Money Zone.
Yeah!
It's better with you.
Oh, shit.
Travis, slow down. You just passed the post office, and I've got to go there. I've set aside 2 hours in my schedule to go.
We're not stopping, Justin. There's no time.
Please, Travis, I gotta feel this.
No, there's the Joker is attacking the city hall, and we have to go right now to watch. We're not going
to
help.
How am I supposed to ship my packages, Hawkman?
If you need to ship your pants, don't you worry about it, because you can use stamps.com on the Batputer.
Whoa, Hawkman, why are they letting you use the Batputer?
Well, Batman's sick, and he's letting me borrow his car.
Cool.
As long as we put bat gas in it.
Ice job.
I'm Mr. Freeze.
Okay, great. Are you in the back seat? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
Okay. Is Mr. Freeze with us now, Griffin? Can we speak with
Mr. Freeze? Sure. Yeah, let me get him back here. Ice to meet you.
It's ice to meet you as well, Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze, do you use stamps.com?
No.
Oh, you really should.
No, I'm a bad guy. They don't want me to use it.
Okay, yeah, cool. Well, you should, because it takes care of mailing.
Oh, shit, stamps.com's website just fell on me and killed me. I'm Mr. Freeze.
Yay!
Stamps.com.
I'm so glad they got that sign.
But they have a mobile app, too. Can the mobile app fall on you as well?
Yeah.
Okay. All you need is...
Trav, I don't have a scale, though. Is this going to be a problem for me? Because I can't
wait. Oh, Justin, my new sidekick. Hawk Boy is what I'm going to call you. No, Bird Boy... let's go with Hatchling. Hatchling, don't you worry about it. They'll send you a free scale, and they'll seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online.
Wow.
Yeah, you can get rates you can't find anywhere else, like up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. So now, let's take this dead-ass Mr. Freeze to jail while you read... the mandatory call to action section, Hatchling. I'll drive. You got to read, Hatchling.
Make the same no-brainer decision as Hawkman and over 1 million other businesses with stamps.com. Whoa. Sign up with promo code MYBROTHER. Careful for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial. Duck! Plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. I'm shot. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code MYBROTHER. Get me to a hospital. I'm bleeding out.
But where can I find a doctor, Hatchling?
Well, good news.
It's too late for him. He's dying. He needs the salvation of Jesus iced.
Oh, I see. Jesus iced. Luckily, I know CPR. You drive, Mr. Freeze. Take the wheel.
I don't know how.
Frieza's take the wheel.
Listen, if you need to get your affairs in order, one, you need to seek the salvation of Jesus Ice.
Yes, I need a will.
You need also a will. Zoc.
Frieza's Christ is better than Jesus Ice.
Frieza's Iced is cool.
No, that's too far away.
It's too much different from Jesus.
Look.
I am.
We don't know anything. We've established this so many times in this one episode, and we've done 705 of these bad boys already. Yeah. You know, don't you know us by now?
This is like exhibit AAA 745 in the court docket of us not knowing anything.
Listen, it is very difficult when you are trying to build a social network of healthcare providers. I call them my friends. And I call them even my best friends, some of them.
Wow.
My dermatologist.
I would say that there are some things that my doctor knows about me.
Sure.
Maybe those closest to me.
Absolutely.
I would be afraid to tell them.
Yes.
That's heartening.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Couldn't be easier, couldn't be faster. I did this. I've done this a half dozen times just living in DC when I moved here. I didn't have any doctor friends. Now I do because ZocDoc hooked me up and they let you search based on like what insurance you have. And it lets you just see all the doctors. You can book an appointment right through the app. It's super, super, super easy. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. It really is a great service. And if you live in a city where you have trouble, finding the right healthcare for you, you should use ZocDoc because I have in it. It does kick ass. Go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother. Download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
Hatchling died, by the way, just to make it clear.
Hatchling.
Oh, no. Yeah. Why would you kill off a beloved character like Hatchling?
There's 11 more of them in the case, but don't worry. Another one.
Are you tired of being picked on for only wanting to talk about your cat at parties?
Do you feel as though your friends don't understand the depth of love you have for your guinea pig?
When you look around a room of people, do you wonder if they know sloths only have to eat one leaf a month?
Have you ever dumped someone for saying they're just not an animal person?
Us too.
She's Alexis B. Preston.
She's Ella McLeod.
And we host Comfort Creatures, the show where you can't talk about your pets too much, animal trivia is our love language, and dragons are just as real as dinosaurs.
Tune in to Comfort Creatures every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
What is up, people of the world? Do you have an argument that you keep having with your friends and you just can't seem to settle it? And you're sitting there arguing about whether it's Star Trek or Star Wars, or you can't decide what is the best nut, or can't agree on what is the best cheese?
Stop doing that. Listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal, only on Max Fun.
Your topics asked and answered objectively, definitively, for all time.
So don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
Do you guys want to talk about Oak Island for a second?
Yeah.
On mic? For show?
Yeah, for show, because we have a question here. There's a Canadian island where, rumor has it, pirate treasure may have been buried about 300 years ago. This person is making so many assumptions about Oak Island, but let's move on.
I also very, very, you didn't know. Hey, question asker, you didn't know, but you put in parentheses here, Oak Island, as though the second Canadian island came, maybe not even that far into it. Justin was like, Oak Island. Is it Oak Island?
Yeah. It's Oak Island.
My great uncle, now appropriately deceased, was a treasure hunter.
Appropriately
on the island in
60s. Deceased.
I don't know why it says appropriately
I
deceased.
I assume because maybe it's great uncle, because there's a great uncle implies of a certain age.
Yeah, there can be great uncles that are still doing it, though.
Yes, yeah, but with great uncle comes great death.
That's a fair point.
He's a treasure hunter on the island in the 60s. So
Justin might be able to name this fool.
I wish there was more details here because I would assume we're talking about somebody in the original syndicate, which was Blankenship and Nolan and the other guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one he would be, but the original people who, well, not the original people, the original people go back to the 1800s. But so we've got somebody in that 60s group that maybe split off and did Triton later, but we'll see. The Hunter on the Island later produced a booklet outlining where he thought the treasure is buried. The booklet is logical and gripping. Pirates, stone markers, science, spiritual mediums, underground tunnels, all de rigueur for this island. My dad still has a copy. There's also a reality TV show revolving around the search for this treasure. As of 2024, the show's in its 11th season. No kidding. My dad has emailed the TV show about it, but has received no response. How can I get my dad's treasure booklet onto TV, preferably without watching the show? That's from Craving Cartographic Consequence in Canada. And I feel like we could get this done.
Oh. Do you mean, now, Justin, I want to clarify here. We can get it done getting the pamphlet in the hands of the Oak Island people, or we can find the treasure.
Well, I like that, Trav. I do like that we have this one piece of evidence that the Lagini brothers do not have.
Yeah. Are we the Nicolas Cage in this circumstance, or
maybe we are? No,
I think we're the bad guys. I think come swooping into Oak Island to steal the spear that killed Jesus or whatever.
Right. Exact. Yes. Exactly.
We're the bad guys.
So,
I think so. Yeah.
We're the bad guys. Here's what I think we should do. The guys are there filming the TV show, and they are having so much fun running around and playing on their island.
It doesn't seem like it. I've never seen anything on that show that looks like an old man having fun. It always looks like an old man saying, like, well, maybe. No, fuck.
You should watch it more, because when these guys start slamming can, as they call it. When these Griffin there, I cannot tell you how many scenes there.
Is it a sex?
I cannot tell you how many scenes there are of someone sticking a very long metal tube into the ground,
yeah,
pulling up a big tube of dirt, yeah, and then everybody excitedly looking at the dirt. It's a
Justin, you've described every episode of this show that I have ever watched in a hotel because there was nothing else for me to watch at the time.
Right. So what I'm saying is these guys are having so much fun running around looking for the treasure.
Slamming kids.
We show up.
Yeah.
On the other side of the island.
Yeah.
It's not that big. And we show up, and here's what we have, okay? One, we have a booklet from this question asker's great uncle who's appropriately dead. Tastefully dead.
Zestfully dead.
And then we have something else that the Lagitas and their team don't have.
Yeah.
Guns. Lots of
whoa,
guns.
Holy shit.
Wait, Justin, how confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that their team does not have guns?
I'm not confident.
So what we have is a team of 50 disgraced Navy SEALs.
Okay.
A lot of guns. And these guys are all former disgraced military.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They were dismissed from our armed services with extreme prejudice because they were terrible human beings,
yeah,
but they're going to help us,
yeah,
for the right price.
Okay,
take this island by force.
Yeah,
can we land on one of those planes where the whole back opens up and like tanks and stuff roll out of the back?
Oh, that's
of it.
Cool.
Now, I'm not going to hurt anybody. They don't need to know that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hurt anybody, but I am guaranteeing this will be a storyline on the show.
And the 50 soldiers, they're all community theater actors that we have hired.
Yeah,
to do this for us.
It's getting a little berry for my taste, but I do love this plan.
Yeah,
there's no way they can't feature this exciting. This would be the most exciting thing that ever happened on the show. Exponentially,
yeah, I mean, by a huge margin.
Turn the whole thing on its fucking ear.
Now, Justin, you've watched a lot of Curse of Oak Island. If you had to establish a certain sense of danger and you had to kill one of their team, who would it be?
Now, it is known, one of the things that is known from a factual
perspective, yes,
is that 6 people have died in pursuit, and legend has it, so fact, sort of history has it that the treasure will not be found until a 7th has died.
Sure.
Now, this has gotten sticky as this show has gone on for 11 years and a lot of old men have looked for this treasure.
Yeah.
We've lost a few on the path. And
treasure
whatever
related?
It does, there's this... No,
well, that's
the
question. Now we're splitting
that's
hairs.
That's interesting, isn't it, Trav? That is a fodder for much Reddit discussion is, does this one count?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the one that counts. But the intro keeps saying that, so apparently it isn't the what. Someone cooler, I guess, or
so somebody
else
has to die. So who would you kill, Justin?
I think you got to fall into, well.
You have to fall into a hole. Hold on, just finish that thought. You have to fall into a hole, and then the seventh person who does it.
I think you have to die in active.
Right. That's what. That's the question.
In the line of duty. Yeah.
You hit the ground so hard, and then coins just shoot out of your body if you're number seven.
We all remember when they chucked a bunch of scuba divers into a big old hole.
Yeah.
To see what was down there, and it was very dangerous. If one of those guys had died.
That counts.
Yeah, that's probably going to be it. Yeah. Now, that would be a bummer, though, because they weren't really established as characters.
Yeah.
And it would be a little sad. You know what
Well,
I mean?
You would have like, time in the editing bay when one of them died to beef it up leading up to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, Justin, which one would you shoot?
I'm
not going to talk about somebody I'd really kill because we're not going to kill anybody. Remember, it's just the
it's
threat.
Play pretend.
Okay, then if you were going to stage it to establish drama.
The answer to this question would only make me feel bad. It won't mean anything to the listeners. So we're not going to talk about that. Here's what we'll talk about. What do you think's down there?
Templar gold, man.
What do you think? You think it's Templar gold? Because I think it's bones.
I think bones.
Bones well, for sure.
Bones, Justin. Six people have died in the pursuit of this thing. So there's some bones.
I'll say there's probably about 1,200 bones and plus change.
My theory that I have been touting for a long time is the Ark of the Covenant, but it's filled with bones. So they would find the Ark of the Covenant, open it up, not the Ten Commandments. It's all bones, but they do feel like it's.
Think
the Ark
of
the Covenant.
If they open it up and there's bones in there, Justin, are they disappointed or are they excited,
Travis? I watched them do a 3-episode arc about a coin they found. I think if they find fucking anything, they will be absolutely stoked.
Do you think that there would be a moment if they pulled something up from the bottom of this Oak Island pit? They pull it up and they're
which
like,
pit? The money pit or one of the other shafts?
The money pit, the main shaft. And they pull it up and they're like,
we have explored the main shaft extremely thoroughly, Trav. Okay, I don't think
no treasure in the main shaft.
Can you dance with me to the song I'm playing?
And I just need it to be in some way grounded in reality. We have explored the money pit. You don't even know where the money pit original shaft is, so go on. But
they uncover
let's say we're in the original shaft, whatever.
They uncover the treasure of Oak Island,
which is
witches.
Bones. Sure, whatever. Witches. And so they pull it up.
Dirt witches from the ground.
How long do you think they celebrate before the reality that the show is now done, is canceled, sinks in?
Probably, I mean, you're suggesting they're making more money on the show than they would from the accursed treasure of Oak Island.
Yes. Considering that if this show had not aired, there's no way they could have funded an 11-year long search.
Okay.
Watching it is an incredibly meditative experience because what is always in your mind is this. History would spoil this show. Reality would spoil this reality show if anything ever happened on it.
Yeah.
Because there's no way the discovery, the editing would outpace. So watching this show, you know for a fact nothing is going to happen.
No.
Like, you know nothing
you
is going to
You know that
happen.
Phrase, the greatest treasure was the friends we made along the way? That's only true of this show. I hopped on this wagon again at a hotel in what I can only assume was season 9 or maybe 10. And these dudes talk to each other in a fucking like sibling twin language that no one else can comprehend. Just like, yeah, Stinky Jeff and his special cubes. And it's like, what the fuck are you? What the fuck does that mean? This is like when Dirty Mike fell in the money hole, junior money hole. I don't remember that because I wasn't there. I didn't see that part.
Justin, who's the Australian digger man?
Gary Drayton.
He is
an Australian treasure hunter, Gary
and
Drayton.
And his specialty is what?
He's a metal detection expert, Gary Drayton. That's how he's always billed on the show. He talks about the Bobby Dazzlers he finds all the time. Anyway, this is a great show. And if you're not already watching it, there's plenty of time to catch up before the big reveal of the treasure.
Which is?
I do also want to talk about Billy Gerhart. Billy Gerhart is a heavy machine operator. He's the guy that drove the bulldozer. And he never had any opinion about anything that was happening. They would just tell him to dig a hole and he'd like, but Billy was on the show for so long that he started getting dragged into discussions and eventually Billy, the guy who operates the truck, is in the room where they're talking about discoveries because everyone in the audience loved Billy so much.
Right.
Like the Reddit forum for this show that just everybody loves Billy. So the producers of the show start putting Billy, the forklift op, the heavy machine operator, in the what they call the war room, the where they're planning room, yeah, for their discoveries. So the dynamic is always like six dudes, always dudes, talking about where they're going to look for the treasure.
And in this circumstance, I actually don't think that's so bad, because I think it would bring the cause down a little bit to include some women in this particular discussion and train of thought, right? Yes. This is like, you look at a room full of dudes putting a lot of time and money and effort into this, and you're like, yeah, that tracks.
Billy is now in the war room, but still is resolute on not contributing anything to this the mystery part of it. Love until that. They get to the subject of holes being dug,
yeah,
at which point he will nod solemnly, yes, I will dig the holes.
Yes, a hole shall be dug there.
It sounds to me then...
Yes, now you're speaking my language.
Sounds to me then, the play, we, the three of us, and this question asker, we can't cut them out, but we totally fucking could if we wanted to.
If we need to, we
take them. Podcasters. We take the map. Sounds like the only one we need is Billy and his big truck. And we say, Billy, here. And he's like, yep. And he does it. And we get the treasure, which is Bones. And
also, Gary's going to be so disappointed because Bones ain't metal.
What's the better?
We never found him.
You guys dig up the treasure of Oak Island. It is coins, which is pirates' money. Mm-hmm. Is the play...
Or Bones, which is pirates.
Bones, which is pirates. Coins, which is pirates' money. Or the pills that are pirates' medicine. They buried those, mm-hmm, too. A lot of people don't talk about that.
Limitless.
Limitless pills. Do you...
Yar.
Go public. What's up, everybody? I found the accursed treasure of Oak Island. It was bones and coins and some pirate medicine. And then you're famous and the show is over and you have you are known as the hero of... Or do you never tell a fucking soul and you follow this hunt for the treasure with Schadenfreudian glee that you know that you are solely... keep digging. Oh, yeah. That'll be it.
Yeah.
That'll be the hole for sure. Go for it, Billy.
Griffin... slight middle ground.
Okay.
I would find the treasure.
Yeah.
Take one coin, bury it like 10 God. Feet.
Oh, Trav.
I know.
This is diabolical, man. You shouldn't do this.
But I would do it again and again in the same spot every season and a half.
I love it.
In the exact same spot.
I've been really fighting. The urge while recording this segment of thinking about, I feel like this is my end. This question asked
huge for you
is my only end.
You can get a finder's fee of appearing on Curse of Oak Island.
This is all I want. Yeah. Is I want to be like, this podcaster found a document from a listener. It's unearthed, and we brought him here, and he's an expert.
That's cool, dude.
I want to say they let lots of people be experts on that show. Yeah. And I would just like
we
to
have not wielded the McElroy Brothers Will Be in Trolls energy in quite some time. I think that it has, I think we have recharged and refreshed that particular reservoir. And if this is what you want to spend it on, I think that's pretty good.
I fully support it.
I'm trying to figure out a way that I can communicate to the Oak Island producers that I may be laughing on the outside, but I'm not going to make a joke of their fun game.
Oh, no.
No. You can't bring Travis and I. Like, Travis and I cannot come on this show.
You guys are not invited. No.
We will embarrass Justin if we did this.
Right. If anything,
you'll embarrass me. You'll mess it up.
Producers, I think you should be more concerned that Justin is going to bring so much heat that you won't know what to do.
That is a good point, Justin. The producers of this show are probably very wary of having another Billy situation on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah, my star might rise too meteorically.
Yeah.
That is a fear. That's a concern.
That is the curse of Oak Island that a lot of people don't know about.
I'm assuming this discussion is burning up the Reddit. They have the Drunk Island thread over there every week where people get extremely wasted and then watch the episode and live chat about it. It's a fun vibe.
Cool.
We're all cool having a lot of fun over there. Cool vibe. You know what else has cool vibes? This podcast that we make together.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah.
I love
it. You like that?
I do.
It's kind of a segue.
I love it.
I don't know.
You know what has cool vibes? This segue I'm writing.
It's cool. Dude, what do you guys want to talk?
You know what? I'm going to talk about the fact that we're going to do some live shows coming up very, very soon. We're going to be doing Mabim Bam and Taz in Chicago during C2E2 later this month.
I'm just about to buy tickets for that My Brother, My Brother Me show in Chicago. I was pretty excited for it.
Oh, bad news, you dork. What? It's sold out because we're so fucking popular out up there in Pizza City.
I don't know. He keeps saying that. We've peaked.
But hey, Taz, still tickets for that. So that one hasn't peaked.
Taz has peaked.
Taz, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's okay. Right. Tickets.
Catch Taz on the way out. Because my brother,
the stakes are low. Now the stakes are low. You can get in. Some people say get in on the ground floor. No, I disagree. I say get in when it's going past the ground floor and it's down.
And you don't have to worry
low,
about
it's in
it.
The basement now. Now you get
you're
in.
You're going to be playing Taz versus Dracula with those characters in a sort of one-shot story called Taz versus Moby Dick. You can imagine what that's going to be about. Mabim Bam sold out. Fuck you.
There's not a lot of tickets left for Taz. Taz, there's not a lot of tickets.
April 25th, Taz, there's some number of tickets. Maybe it's a lot.
Don't
maybe
fuck
it's
you.
A little. Don't not fuck you. April.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is the opposite. April 26th to 28th, we're going to be at C2E2. We're going to tell you our schedule for that when we know it. You don't need a badge for C2E2 to attend the live shows. You do need a badge for C2E2 to attend C2E2. We've also got shows coming up in Vancouver and Tacoma here coming up in May. And then in June, we're going to Kansas City, Chesterfield, Missouri, and Tysons, Virginia. Tickets for the Chicago show are on sale now. Tickets for all the other shows go on sale Friday, April 12th at 10 a.m. local time. Go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours for tickets and more information.
We've got some exciting new merch over the merch store for April, including a Garrel and Tyler Thrasher stuffy bundle. You get a stuffed Garrel and Tyler Schrodinger cat blind box, which includes one of three possible cat plushies. We've got the Taz versus Dracula poster by Zachary Sterling, the Rest in Peace Miggy sticker from McElroy Family Clubhouse, which, by the way, if you missed last week's episode, we had Ron Funches on. It was an absolute hoot. You can find that.
Please watch that show.
Yeah, on our McElroy YouTube channel under the live tab. The Wombat pin with dangling cube poop things designed by Trisha Swinier. That's from a conversation on Wonderful Griffin and Rachel had. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. So check that out at McElroyMerch.com.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a great track from just one of Earth's great humans. And thank you all for listening. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. And thanks to everybody who supported us in the Max Fun Drive. Should we put one up?
Let's raise up a wish.
Can I hit this one?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got one for Fungalore here. This is a wish the listener sent in. I wish Charleston Chews were just a little less chewy.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.